50. Another Homecoming.
For a conjurer is only as strong as his menagerie.
From Colvernar Ryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, end note.
What a remarkable beast your cistern is,
Oranil said from atop his conjured yiddoth. He too was fond of riding the great felines.
And its eyes are so peculiar.
Together, he and Amandal rode through the forest to the Aramian estate. Autumn had long since settled upon the Isle of Soroth, and the leaves of the forest were near to falling.
It is a pity only one survived,
Amandal snickered. Oh, I have plenty more. The old codger led me to a large pack on my way to the coast. Oranil furrowed his brow.
I thought you didn't find anything on your return trek.
Do you think they would have believed me if I had told the truth? His father shook his head. Then Amandal related a truncated account of his trek across the wastes. They arrived at the gate to the Aramian estate as Amandal mentioned the penguins.
So, if there was no Isharian warder, where is Finch now?
Amandal gave his father a sidelong grin.
Hiding.
Oranil shook his head and sighed.
I'd say your tendency for theatrics has increased.
Chuckling, he guided his yiddoth toward the estate's coach gateway and dismounted. Amandal did the same and patted the cistern's coarse coat. Though they began opening their portals together, Amandal finished much faster than his father. Once his yiddoth vanished, Oranil beamed with excitement.
Remarkable!
He led Amandal through the coach gateway and to the estate's side entrance. Oranil called for a servant with a name Amandal didn't recognize. A plump man hurried around a corner and snapped to attention.
Will you send for Bilia and Orintil? I know it's late, but we would like to eat.
He gestured to Amandal, and the servant hurried away.
And bring a platter of cheese,
Amandal called after the man.
Some of everything we have.
They walked down the hall and then turned a corner, entering the estate's two-story dining hall. An opulent table for 24 spanned the room, surrounded by high-backed chairs most people would consider thrones. Oranil sauntered to the room's far side, stopping at the oversized mantel near the table's head. Amandal, however, moved to the towering windows. Moonlight lit the clearing behind the estate and the trees at the forest's edge.
Finch is going to find this a shock. So, you are hiding him,
Oranil said, then sighed.
Let me guess, in the Bezirm expanse. Tell me, Amandal, what else are you concealing?
Amandal turned to his father. Should I tell him? Oranil stood beside his seat at the table's head, holding a decorative tin of lavin root. Stroking his unkempt beard, Amandal considered the request. He would have to swear him to secrecy, but such a secret might drive a wedge between Oranil and the other council members. But they did call me mad. If anything, that alone would create such a divide. He glanced to the ceiling, but no reply came from the old codger.
Well, he did say his goodbyes.
Sucking in his breath, Amandal walked to the table.
The full truth.
That made his father tense.
My friends are still alive, in a manner of speaking. They're like old Cali, poisoned by that damned dragon.
Oranil looked taken aback, but he didn't speak.
I intend to save them, even if that means I scour this world for the rest of my days. I'll become an adventurer if I must, but I will save them.
Deliberate applause filled the dining hall, and Amandal turned toward the clapping. His mother walked from the dining room's doors, but she was not the source of the applause. Behind her walked Uncle Cruden, his grin widening with each clap. The lanky man stood as tall as Bilia, his wavy blonde hair accented by a streak of gray. But unlike his sister, Cruden was quite ugly, especially with that hook-shaped nose. He continued clapping as he rounded the table.
Said like a true adventurer. It seems that expedition made you a real man.
Amandal snorted and glanced to his mother. Bilia sighed and pursed her lips. Uncle Cruden had claimed only real men ventured out into the world. Cruden pulled out a chair, sat, and propped his feet atop the table.
It's about time I had another Aramian in my band. What's it been?
He poked his chin at Aranel.
15 years? 16?
Amandal's father smiled, set down his decorative tin, and removed its lid.
17,
he said, taking a pinch of the pale purple mulch and placing it in his long pipe. Uncle Cruden grunted.
Figures you'd remember the day you stopped being a man.
Behave yourself,
Bilia scolded her brother, stopping one chair from Aranil. Her mood lightened as she eyed Amandal.
I'm glad you're safe. And what did I tell you?
It wouldn't be that bad.
Don't jump to conclusions, Aranil said. Amandal was the sole survivor.
Bilia paled and brought a hand to her mouth. A tear trickled down her cheek, followed by another. She gazed past Amandal to the windows, most likely imagining everyone who had attended the festivities before their departure.
But all those people...
Heavy footsteps carried into the dining hall, and then Aurentil appeared.
How was the meeting?
His jaw tensed as he looked between Amandal and their father.
Not well, Aurentil said. He had since lit his pipe, most likely by a basic elemental incantation.
Aurentil frowned and took the seat beside Bilia.
Why don't you tell us everything? Aurentil said. But first, why don't you release Finch?
Bilia turned to her husband, confused, but Aurentil simply pointed to Amandal. The incantation rolled off Amandal's tongue so swiftly that Aurentil nearly fell out of his chair. Cruden choked and his eyes bulged. Once the portal to the Bezirm expanse opened, Finch zipped from it. He floated above the table, twirling around.
Where are we?
Asked the winged creature. Amandal smiled.
Home.
And I'd like to introduce you to your new family.
Thick-soled footsteps carried into the dining room, and the servant arrived carrying a platter of cheese. Upon seeing Finch, he nearly dropped it.
Ah, Finch, just in time.
As promised, here is your cheese.
Now, where should I start?
Unlike his report to the council, Amandal gave a very detailed retelling of the expedition to Tartalim. While he devoured the cheese, Finch made so many strange noises that Bilia turned away in disgust. She held a hand to her mouth and gave Aranil a look that said, "Do something." Of course he didn't. The meal had come and gone before Amandal finished with his tale. He had begun relating his and Finch's trek across the wastes when the chef brought out individual ramekins of a fruit-filled pudding. As the chef served the dessert, he studied Finch with interest rather than alarm.
The server must have warned him about our peculiar guest.
Everyone was nearly finished with dessert when Amandal finished talking about the penguins. And when I spotted the Farling, the codger said I should hide him. He nodded toward Finch, who was slurping up the dregs of his pudding. So I put him in the Bezirm expanse. Uncle Cruden laughed.
That's one way to do it.
He looked around the table, gauging his family's reaction to what they'd heard. None were disbelieving. They didn't even question anything about the old codger. Then he showed his family the conjuration anchor and gave a demonstration. His father and brother marveled at it and each took their turn inspecting the Tevis roll. Bilia was the first to mention Finch.
He can stay with us,
she said, struggling to smile. She had cried as he retold the tragedy.
You're part of our family now, Finch.
We'll have to keep him a secret, Aurentil said. No one can ever know he's a Tulidyne.
A fairy,
Bilia said thoughtfully.
A deranged creature Cruden brought back from one of his adventures. and Amandal named him after the Tulidine that had saved his life.
Finch looked up from his bowl and blinked innocently, pudding staining his trunk.
A fairy?
Fairy, Cruden said with a grunt. He cocked his head toward Amandal.
Well, if you're determined to find a mystical Tevis roll that will cure your friends, you might as well join my band.
Now that we're on that topic, Amandal said, there's a young Barjanist that wants to work with you. Before I left, he wanted to take me to lunch at the Sea of Estonia so I could put in a good word with you. Anyway, I left a message for him that I had returned.
The Sea of Estonia, Cruden chortled. What a wise choice. Why don't I join you, and I'll bring my head thief along. Sidith will undoubtedly want to meet the boy.
A week had passed since Amandal's return. On the night after Amandal's report to the council, Arunil relayed some news of old Kali. Though he hadn't died, Kalamir was not himself. He could neither talk nor move. His meals had to be fed to him, and he wet himself like a baby. The council had taken a vote and decided against Amandal releasing the other soldier.
It seems our Pran magic is not enough, he thought.
Whatever Tevis role he was to find, it would have to do more than harness that channel of power. And as Amandal had hoped, his father did not say a word about his friends, Fench, or the conjuration anchor. Those were secrets he planned to take to his grave, and he encouraged Amandal to do the same. In fact, he had forbidden Amandal from ever speaking of the matter to the Saterans. Arnil thought it best for them to grieve their son and move past his death. Why dangle such a faint glimmer of hope for what might never come to pass? If a means to truly cure the Yeltis venom were found, then they could deal with the ramifications of falsifying so many deaths. Arentil had also vowed himself to silence over the matter, as had Bilia. Cruden had not said so much, but Bilia believed he would stay silent. If anything, he would only spin tales about the expedition that no one would actually believe. That left only Finch. Before retiring to bed, Amandal took the winged creature to the family library. You understand how important it is that the survivors remain a secret, don't you, Finch? The winged creature fluttered about, inspecting each of the tomes. Finch?
Yes, master,
he said in a monotone, but then giggled. The past week Amandal had been schooling Finch on a new demeanor meant to suggest that the winged creature was a servant to Amandal. Yes, master, I understand, or... Finch flew from the bookshelves in a wide arc.
I won't say a word.
He rolled up his trunk so his lips touched his forehead. Well, you can't go flying about like that. Laughing, Finch released his trunk and it flopped against his chest. The clicking of heels echoed into the library, then Billy across the room.
And what am I reading tonight?
Finch flew across the library and pulled a small book from the shelf. He handed it to Amandal's mother, who sat down in one of the oversized chairs. Finch coiled his tail on the floor while resting his trunk across her lap. As she began reading, Bilia stroked Finch's trunk. She had grown fond of the winged creature these last few days, and she had come to accept him as if he were one of her own children. The following day, Amandal received a note from Vargos. The youth had taken a trip to the Isle of Sortie after becoming a full-fledged Barjanist, and had returned to Sauroth the prior evening, narrowly missing Arunil as he finished his council duties at the Order and left for home. Amandal sent a messenger for Uncle Cruden to meet him at the Sea of Estonia, then made his way to the Sarothian Magical Order to fetch Vargos. Once on the Order's grounds, he found the young Barjanist reading a book under the same tree where Dougal and Fendar had pulled their prank. Only part of the book's title was visible. The Disc of Eternity, the Mind of... Vargas's hand covered the rest of it. The youth didn't seem to notice Amandal, not even when he cleared his throat. Is that any good? Vargas jumped, fumbling the book.
Oh, you scared... Oh, you!
He pushed himself up, dusted off his robe, and ran a hand through his hair.
"How do I look, Mr. Amundal?"
He certainly didn't look as disheveled as the day Amundal had first met him. "Fine. The book?"
"Oh!"
Bargos held it out and examined it.
"Ah, well, it's good, but it sort of reads like Master of the Orbs. People say the story gets different in later books. It has a dragon in it, I think."
Amundal raised an eyebrow at the mention of dragons. "The author probably got it wrong. I'll have to see if it's right. Come, let's meet my uncle." The Sivistonia hummed with noisy conversations. Cruden sat at the L-shaped bar with a short fellow wearing a fancy green doublet. Sedith? Whoever it was twirled the ends of a long mustache. Bargos gasped.
"Oh, it's them!"
Must be him, Amundal thought, and Bargos hurried toward the bar. The dining hall was full, and only the bar had vacant seats, though they were sparse. Bargos took the empty spot beside Uncle Cruden, leaving no room for Amundal. After some brief introductions, young Bargos gushed over Cruden and his band's accomplishments. Some of the things he mentioned Amundal had never heard.
"You know, I have two openings," Cruden leaned back, rubbing his hands together. "We could use another bargeinist. You can't be too careful while out in the world."
"And the other spot?" Bargos asked. "I have a friend,"
Cruden pointed to Amundal.
"My nephew will be joining us. He's quite formidable, what with being a dragon slayer."
Bargos's eyes went wide.
"Dragon slayer?"
"Oh, yes," Cruden said,
and recited a much embellished rendering of the battle with Orathisian, one in which the dragon breathed fire. As his uncle continued the far-fetched tale, Amundal moved farther down the bar, near the windows overlooking the ocean. Having recognized him, the bartender approached with a glass of brandleberry wine.
"Here you are, Mr. Aramian."
Taking a sip, Amundal looked about the room, recalling his last visit. The thought of it pained his soul, and he ached for his friends. Eyes on the door, Amundal imagined Ilden walking inside and asking the host for Amundal, then waving as he crossed the room.
Will I ever see him like that again? He had to. No matter the cost, he would save them. I'll find that Tevisral, whatever it is.
After he finished his wine, a woman took the seat beside him. He probably would have thought her pretty, even beautiful. But he had no desire to even speak to her. Never had he not tried to seduce such a woman. In all truth, he had barely paid attention to her. She had received a brief glance, but that was all. Now, if he had seen her 2 months prior, he would probably have attempted to bet her. But not now. Not after Felinia. She had molded him into the man he was now. It was she who had made him reconsider the expedition. Their exploring together had evoked a curiosity that could only be satisfied while exploring the world, and she had revealed his bravery in the direst of circumstances. The thought of the Quarsifage crept into his mind, but no, it wasn't Orathisian's curse that had changed him. I was already a different man when that mist engulfed me. It was her. It was always her. Of all the women in the world, none could rival Felinia Tussara, for there was no woman who shared her beauty, her bravery, her tenacity, her tenderness, or her magical prowess. She was perfect, but she was gone, and never would Amundal Aramian love another woman. The end of The Prisoner of Tardalim, A Tales of the Amulet novel.